Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, 11-11-11. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live, not in the not metaphorical but literal shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City, but instead I am live in an undisclosed location. If you're watching on the Sammy Cam, you can see that I am sitting in front of an assortment of pieces of hardware, nails, screws. I'm in my basement. Because it's Casual Friday. And as such on the program today, Cliff Schechter. And maybe Chris Rosen. I don't know. He seems to be ignoring my tweets and whatnot. But he will be, we will have songs from Jimmy Reefer Cake and the Screaming Majority. And, of course, we will take your phone calls later in the program. What a week in news. But first, you know what that means. We've got to bring in Mr. Cliff Schechter.
Cliff Schechter. Libertas LLC, new media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
That's right.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Well, I played it one and a half times, Cliff.
Excellent.
Oh, the Sammy Cam is not working for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I will try and start that up again. I thought it was. Cliff, welcome to the program.
Why, thank you, Samuel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It was quite a week this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is a crazy week, man. Politically, obviously, and then there was that whole thing in that part of Pennsylvania that was kind of messed up.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit because, to be honest with you, I didn't follow it that closely. I didn't cover it very much this week. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't know much about it, but
I just wrote a column on it, so I can.
Please tell me.
Whatever aspect of it you'd like to discuss, there's so many disgusting aspects of it.
Well, tell me the whole story, because I'm not even sure I know much. I know that Paterno essentially was aware that one of his top lieutenants back in the late 90s was raping children. I mean, do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, let me list the ways that this is disgusting, and that's probably the best way to do it. So you've got Jerry Sandusky, who's this assistant coach, a defensive coach for Paterno. They're grooming this guy to be to take over when Paterno leaves, from everything that I can tell. And in 1998, an investigation starts into him because he was found to be showering with an 11-year-old boy, naked, of course. They didn't see him touching him or anything like that, from what I understand, but he was in the shower naked with an 11-year-old boy. And so, you know, that might make you have an investigation. It would seem to make sense, wouldn't it? Magically, this investigation was stopped in 1999 when this guy decided to retire at the prime college coaching age of 55 with no explanation.
So, wait, now, was the public aware of this investigation? I mean, was this public at the time that he was being investigated, or was that? Or do we now know that now from this grand jury?
We know it now. I don't think so. I think some reporter. You know, it seems like I've read one thing by a reporter, ESPN, who seemed to know, you know, about it. So my guess is the best answer is it was semi-public, semi-private. It wasn't widely reported. I think it's this culture of protection. Of everything that is Penn State, which, you know, it goes into, I guess I'll lay it out first and then we can go into all that stuff. So, in 2002, a guy who's then trying to become an assistant coach, former quarterback at Penn State, walks in the shower and sees, the only way to do this is to go into it because it's disgusting, but people need to understand what in grand jury testimony this guy saw. He saw this guy, Jerry Sandusky, anally raping a 10-year-old boy, claimed he heard, quote, and this just hurts me to say this, a rhythmic slapping sound, which led him to go to the shower and see this. He doesn't report it to the police. He runs home and calls his dad and asks him what to do, leaves the kid there being raped. And then his dad says to him, you should tell people. So he goes and he tells Paterno. So Paterno definitely knows about it. What Paterno does is he fulfills the basic lowest part of his legal obligation and goes and tells his superiors. The head of athletics, as well as I think he's like the deputy director of finance or something like that. And their reaction is to tell this guy Sandusky, from everything we can tell, to tell him to take away his key to the shower at Penn State and to no longer be bringing boys on their campus, but not to actually conduct any kind of investigation or go to the police.
It's almost incomprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, the levels are sickening, you know, and from what we can tell here, because there's been a number of things written, so it's hard to know exactly, but it seems that some at different points, obviously in 98, the campus police and others knew and chose to let this thing go. So it even seems that police can become a part of it. The DA that was investigating this thing has disappeared and is now presumed dead. I don't know. I'm not saying anybody killed him. I'm just saying, there you go with that. But finally, so remember, they're saying this guy wasn't going to come on campus anymore, all the rest. Yeah, he was seen as recently as last week working out on campus, but it's worse than that. He still, in 2007, a boy has testified, and so we know this, that he brought, I think, 11, 12-year-old boy to practice with him. All right. So think about it for a second that Paterno and these guys knew in 2002. They knew in 1998 he was being investigated. They knew in 2002 that somebody had seen him raping a boy. But as late as 2007, he shows up to a practice with one of his victims. He's still holding sleepovers apparently at campus with these kids because guess what? This will shock you too. He's got a nonprofit to help troubled kids. So all this time, these guys know that he's using the name, the sainted name of Penn State football, the sainted name of Joe Paterno, and all the sort of trust that would make parents have that this would be a legitimate program, that this kind of thing wouldn't happen. And, you know, as a father of two young boys, this terrifies the hell out of me. It makes me not want anybody to even look at my kids the wrong way. And so they're trusting this. And so these guys knew, at least since 98, that this guy was a question mark. Certain, you know, probably more than that. But we don't know that yet. That's speculation. What we do know is, at the very least, since 2002, almost a decade ago, they knew that this guy had been seen anally raping a kid. And he's still showing up on campus. They're still allowing him to run his foundation, you know, using the name of Penn State and his connections to Paterno. They're still allowing him to show up on campus when he does with a young boy at practice and do stuff. I mean, it's so sickening, you know. I mean, I've seen these people. I think Will Bunch wrote the best piece on this yet of the Philadelphia Daily News, if you know Will. Terrific writer, good progressive guy, wrote a piece called Blow Up Penn State. And that's just about where I'm thinking at this point. And his whole argument was just that the experiment that was this huge central campus in this small town in Pennsylvania has failed because basically, you know, it's become, obviously with the way college football has gone too, it's become this important economic engine and nobody wants to rock the boat. All the incentives are for people that are morally corrupt to just cover up what's going on to keep the billions of dollars coming in.
That's the thing that I, you know, just, you know, and I went to a Division III former women's school for college. So, you know, sports were just not a big issue. And in New England, you just don't follow, you know, you don't follow like that type of sort of the Big Ten football.
Nope.
So that's basically just what it comes down to. It's just there was just too much money on the line. And if we have, if one of the costs we have to pay is that some of the kids get raped, that's just what it comes down to, right? I mean, it's just a
right.
function of people trying to protect their millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's what it would seem to me. Again, I went ironically enough to the University of Pennsylvania, where one of the more popular and obnoxious shirts used to be a shirt that said not Penn State, because everybody would get them mixed up. Like now I don't think I can wear any of my Penn stuff out, because so many people get the two of them. Maureen Dowd in her column laid the blame at Penn and not Penn State. It's an easy thing to get mixed up, which a lot of people do. So I don't feel like I once had somebody actually yell at me on the streets of France because I was wearing a Penn shirt and they thought it was Jean-Marie Le Pen. See, so I've already had that experience of having people freak on me. If you know who he is, the fascist, the guy that runs on the fascist party in France. All the time, kind of their Pat Buchanan, if you will.
Oh, I thought he was P-E-N, but was it two N's?
It is P-E-N, but, you know, people, there are those that are not quite literate there, just as there are here.
All right, so wait a second.
I don't think whoever...
All right, so getting back to the story. So you literally, there were probably at least 10, 15, 20 people who knew about this.
There are these many that knew about this. There's at least 8 cases that have now come before the grand jury, and let's be honest.
But I'm talking about, there has to be more trustees involved.
But they're going to be dozens. You know, if not more than that, I mean, this guy's a serial rapist who had access to kids because of his connection to the university through a nonprofit. It's just not believable.
These are all poor kids, right? I mean, these are all poor kids who are involved in this nonprofit. Is that it? Or what was this nonprofit? What did it do?
Yeah, they're troubled kids. I don't know if they're poor. They're all troubled kids, though, that this nonprofit was claiming to help. It is, though, somebody in a position of power, obviously, as, you know, taking advantage of the vulnerable. I'm sure it also shocked you to know that Sandusky is a registered Republican, friend of Rick Santorum's, and, of course, Paterno is a known right-wing Republican and friend of George W. Bush's. And I'm sorry, people say, oh, don't politicize this. Well, remember, these are the guys that moralize about family values and then rape people and cover up rape of children. So I think that is an important aspect.
Look, aside from the partisan political, from a partisan perspective, this is very political. Because there's a reason why the guy gets away with this. And it's not because he's raping the children of wealthy trustees. He's not raping the children of the rich in State College or wherever it is. He's raping kids who have completely fallen through the system. He is raping kids with no advocates. He's raping kids who are essentially, troubled kids who have been sort of fallen through the cracks. And that's why he can get away with it. And the reason why he's getting cover from everyone from Paterno to whoever it was in the administration who clearly must have known about it, to any of the trustees who may have known about it, is because they were, because money Uber alls. This is, this is not just about sickness. Because obviously this guy is a sick monster, but the reason why he was able to get away with it is exactly the same reasons why we could see, you know, Social Security cut, why we see poor people losing food stamps. It is because you have disenfranchised people who lose out to the interests of money. And in this case, it's just a horrible, extreme example of that, where kids are being taken advantage of and raped, because there's just too much money involved to stop it. And God knows, you know, you've got Paterno probably knowing about this as early as 99. God knows how many kids were raped between now and then. And
right, the one, I mean, that's the sickening part, is how much of this was preventable. I mean, I just wrote my weekly column on this, and the point that I make overall, I mean, a few points, but one of them is, you're not going to cure, I mean, at least not, I don't know how we do, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, pedophilia, and stop this sickness that's been around probably forever, that creates monsters like this guy. But the culture that surrounds it, you hope will, is a culture where there's no tolerance and convinces people that this must be reported immediately and makes people sick not to do that. And yet, I feel like that this is part of our whole culture right now. It's the same thing. I don't know if you're, to broaden this a little bit, I don't know if you read probably the stupidest column I've ever read, by Victor Davis Hanson at the National Review, kind of mocking sexual harassment and claiming it's a made up thing and not real, and that so Herman Cain didn't do anything wrong, and it's just women complaining. And I think this to me sort of ties into all of that, which is sort of, the attitudes of these privileged, essentially white males, towards the more vulnerable, and I think it's only gotten worse since the sort of greed is good era took over and has turned programs like Penn State into these, machines, essentially, that create fame and power and money, and that's all that matters in the end. That's all that matters. Anybody wants to get in the way of that, kind of like anybody wants to get in the way of Koch brothers' creation, Herman Cain, is just collateral damage,
I think the sexual harassment thing too. I got that same thing from, believe it or not, Armstrong Williams on the Kudlow Report. I think it was earlier this week. I can't even remember now. I was on the Kudlow Report with Armstrong Williams, who has his own reasons for, not particularly liking me, because I spent, several months, shitting on him in the hours that followed his program on the local radio station in, New York. He was on the liberal station. But even the guy sitting next to me from the National Review online was like, yeah, actually it is sexual harassment, even if you don't physically molest them. But I think this instance is really, it really speaks to, how money has become such an ascendant value in our society. I mean, this is not like, these people in, Joe Paterno is going to, not be able to feed his family. You know what I mean? I mean,
this right, is exactly.
The threat involved here to the program to have turned this guy in, it seems to me, was minimal. Right, I mean, they were doing this to protect the money, I guess, the money machine, but exactly, what was the threat? If they turn this guy in when they find out about him,
right. I mean, it's not like Paterno had enough of a reputation that I think he'd be able to survive just fine. Survive isn't even the right word. He'd be able to thrive just fine. Maybe in the short term. Maybe a couple people are skittish about going to Penn State or recruits. I mean, I don't know, it affects them in a variety of ways, but none of them that are really, really damaging long term. Long term, they've built such a sort of reputation that they're going to be fine. I mean, and so really it just is.
It's just
they
a
don't
function
take
of
a chance.
How worthless they perceive these children.
That's exactly right.
It is like, the cost to us may be minimal, but it's even greater than the value of that kid's life.
That's exactly right. If people don't look at the greater culture that created that, they're missing a lot of the story. That we've created this, people like Joe Paterno are, quote, job creators. Money is everything. Business is everything. We've corporatized our culture to the point where everything, there's no more intrinsic value or anything anymore, like there used to be, based upon just sort of that something is a good for the public, or something is, creative and, as like an art project or whatever it might be. Everything is judged on its financial value. Everything, and everybody feels like they're judged, not everybody, but people that buy into this seem to feel the same way. And they don't want to give up any money and any power. And, the right is pushing this culture, but neoliberals and the Democratic Party are pushing this culture too. It's like so many other things. When you look at graphs and charts and everything else, the break with what America really was happened during the Reagan years and has only gotten worse and worse and worse since then. We broke away from the culture that originally this country was founded upon, which had a lot more to say about how important the public square was, how important what was good for all of us mattered, and the rest. And now that's all just socialism, of course, and only what only matters is your bottom line and your power, and, you know, it greed is a value in and of itself, right? I mean, it's sickening. But that's inevitable, right? We already buy products from people we know are enslaving kids in developing countries, sure. And we're okay with that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like we're that far away from it. You know, if it happens in another country, it's already been completely acceptable to us.
Right,
so,
we've outsourced our child slave labor essentially now, and so we don't have to deal with it.
Right, we can't help it. That's their laws, right?
Right.
We're not responsible for what they do over there. And I just, to me, that this is a part of all of that, and all of that to me has just been this 30 or 40 year assault on what made this country great. You know, and we're seeing it obviously in its most base and sort of exaggerated form now. But that's happened to college football like everything else.
Oh, bear with us, folks.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, über alles in der Welt.
I'm here.
Okay. We'll try this one more time. Yes, so forgive me, folks, for the technological difficulties today. I don't know. I got a computer that is just acting really badly, and it's going to be punished.
Well, you're hiding out in the Cheney bunker. That has to have something to do with it.
Yeah, I think so. So anyways, yes. It's a really depressing story. It's just so disgusting, and it really, you know... It's not a question of making it partisan per se, although, you know, so many of these freaks end up being these repressed psychopaths who carry out their, you know, their self-loathing by sort of projecting it outward onto others. But really, you know, the real story here from a political standpoint, and it's not partisan politics, but it's the politics of, you know, there are some people in society who are perceived as irrelevant. And
winners and losers, man.
Absolutely. And these people are, you know, they're just basically, they exist here for the service of others. I mean, you know, when we had Andrew Schiff, Peter Schiff's brother, call in, I guess it was a week or two ago, and he said, you know, look, if you can't afford to go to college and you don't have the skills for, you know, to do anything, then you just won't make any money. You just won't eat.
Right.
And
that's just the way it goes.
That's,
yeah,
it.
That's exactly.
There are
right.
some people who, you know, who are meant to survive in society, and others, they're just meant to be raped by rich people. And
that's right.
Either literally or metaphorically. And that is the same attitude. You know, that is the attitude. That is where the libertarian...
Your first class or your steerage. And that's really all that that's all that matters in the end.
That's right. And in this country, the rich have done us the favor of, you know, throwing the bones, you know, not having a strict caste system, so that there is the, you know, the opportunity to maybe your relative, maybe your ancestors will not have to be raped by rich people. You know, you have this slight opportunity.
If you can just live with the rape, but when you're not being raped, earn enough money so that your kids can go to college, then eventually somebody down the family line won't get raped.
Right, and
maybe that's kind of
maybe if you're lucky and it's merit-based, you will be a rapist. You know, I mean...
You can only aspire to that.
Right.
You can only aspire to that. Yeah. I think that's it. And, you know, I bring up the Republican thing. Obviously, I used to do that whole Republican sex debate thing. But to me, especially as things have changed in this country, the much more interesting thing than just party, I sort of use the Republican thing as a stand-in. But really, it's ideology. It's more conservatism. It's more the combination of that this country sort of runs on now, which is the economic conservatism of money is the only thing and the only value and all that matters. And then it's sort of its good friend resentment, which is, you know, which goes along and says that there are all sorts of people that don't matter because, you know, the deserving poor and the rest. You know what I mean? They're just sucking up the resources and they were the producers and they go hand in hand. And that's the reason why I think it's important to bring up people like Rick Santorum, who of course, you know, compared homosexuality to pedophilia, for example, and all the other wonderful things he's done, which makes him interesting in this story, and others. And I wouldn't care if they're Democrats or Republicans in the end. I just think this, these kind of twin ideologies have been ruling this country for a while now, and they both tie into this, you know, and, I just think that to me is the important story beyond any partisan politics. It's kind of the sick place of our kind of conservative, culture of the last 30, 40 years. At least that's the way I see it.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you. Well, let's just take a minute here and just pivot because, obviously SB5, was, defeated in Ohio. You're in Ohio. To a large extent, you know, it's part and parcel of this same mentality. You know, these people who, work for the government, the jobs they do, like teaching, like firefighting, like policing, like cleaning the roads, like fixing the roads, like administering
right.
the services. These people are leeches, right? I mean, that's the attitude that Kasich has. These people are leeching off the system. There's no reason why you should be doing well if you're working for the government. It's not a real job. You're not providing any real services. You're just teat suckers. And,
but the government doesn't create jobs. The Republican debate, they pretty much all said that, you know, a couple debates ago, they all said this, and I think you'd find that you've heard it from Republican think tanks and the rest. The Heritage Foundation and AEI came out with a joint, American Enterprise Institute, I should spell it out, came out with a joint study saying that teachers are paid too much for what they do. I mean, recently, week ago, 2 weeks ago, I mean, again, the government doesn't create jobs. I mean, Herman Cain said it himself. So obviously, you don't have a real job if you're a fireman or a police or a teacher at a public school or you're a policeman or you're...
I think it's important for the people to understand here that you're not being flip. I mean, in other words, like, you know, it's one thing to say like, government don't create jobs. People really need to think of the implications when a Republican says that government doesn't create jobs. It's not just like, the guy's an idiot. No, they realize that there are people who work as teachers. They realize there are people. What they are saying is these people are worthless.
Right.
I mean, that's amazing.
Exactly right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, I think, you know, it's too easy to sort of like, for us to sort of like gloss over the implications of what they're saying and just like, you know, as if it's just, they're morons. They'll just say it. But what they're really saying, they're not talking, like an idiot. What they're doing is they are edifying an idea.
They're exposing their ideology.
Yes.
You know, they're exposing what they believe, which is you are of no value. You're not of the job creators out there. And so really, it's that whole mentality that says that people on Wall Street can do whatever they want, even if they're ripping people off in the end. But yeah, but they're the people that have intrinsic value because they make a lot of money and they're cool. You know, and they can buy a Bentley and whatever. So it doesn't really matter if they're criminals. We're not going to prosecute them. However, you know, teacher, firefighter, whatever, you know, you're a completely different caste. And this country essentially, as we know, was originally founded on trying to eliminate those kinds of things and to say everybody had opportunity. And I'm not saying we did a perfect job of it. We did far from that. Nobody needs to remind me, you know, about how Native Americans, women, African Americans, and many others were treated. I'm just saying that was at least the idea we were founded upon and which we steadily were improving for almost 200 years until we started heading backwards in the 1980s.
That's right. I mean, now it's a question of like, what is, you know, this country is never going to be perfect, but the question is, what ideal are we pursuing? And we've even given up that ideal.
That's it. You know, that's it. And I mean, that kind of wraps this story in there too. You know, and throw in the sort of resentment politics that go along with the money politics, and you get the personhood amendment in Mississippi because women are of no value either. You know, particularly anybody that has any different religious interpretation from the white men in control are also of no value.
Right.
Thankfully, it lost, and it went down. But, you know, do remind yourself that 41% of people in Mississippi voted to declare that a zygote is a person.
Yeah, and the implications of that, of course, are just that women are not really like people, like, you know, you or
they're
I.
They're vassals. Really, you're just a container for a baby.
Right.
That's what you are if you're a woman.
Right.
You're essentially like your storage.
Right.
Although the question I have, and I've tried to ask this on Twitter, some people have had good answers. I want to know what you think, Sam, which is, if zygotes had their day, there are a couple of disappointed zygotes out there right now, but if they'd won, they'd prevail, then if zygotes were people, would zygotes also be corporations? Because people are corporations, and corporations are people.
Right. Now you're getting into, it starts getting very, very complicated. Well, I mean, yes. I mean, that's aside from, like, sort of the practical implications of how just sort of insane the whole thing was.
I'm just having fun, but you're right. The whole thing
I spent the whole week talking about how, coffin makers in, Tennessee should start, in Mississippi should get ready to start making tiny, tiny coffins for those fertilized eggs that actually get washed out in a menstrual cycle occasion. I mean, there was a huge business. You could have entire funeral homes and cemeteries just in your potted plant.
Think about it. That could be awesome. Here's something else. If corporations do become zygotes, then at what point does a corporation become a person? Is it when you first have the idea? Or is it later when you're drawing up the plans for the corporation? You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? When the idea first pops into your head, is it immediately then a corporation that you can't abort? I mean, do you have to go through with starting that company?
That's right.
Or can you decide? I'm just wondering. These are important questions to have answered when they do that. Because, you know, they're coming here, by the way. These personhood nuts. They're coming to Ohio. They're trying to get it on the ballot here. I've read about them doing it in about a dozen other states, maybe more. So, you know, they're not giving, I mean, you'd figure if you can't win that one in Mississippi.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something.
You're probably shit out of luck in most places. But.
I spoke to, Irin Cameron for Ring of Fire this week, and she mentioned they were bringing this. There was talk of bringing this personhood initiative to many different states for 2012. And you know, it seems to me that not only is it, you know, you lose in Mississippi 58 to whatever it was, 32%
right.
Or whatever it was, You, this is not just a question of this is not going to pass anywhere. This seems to be, you know, the Republicans have sort of spent the past, at least 10, 12, 14 years, whatever it is, using these ballot initiatives, you know, an anti-gay ballot initiative to get, the fundies out. It seems to me you put this personhood ballot, question on the ballot. It's going to have the reverse effect. That in fact you're going to bring out this is good. In other words, as a means of driving the get out the vote effort, this is going to backfire on the right. I think.
I would think so too. Look, if you want to understand how, and this ties us back because I didn't finish. You know, I don't know how much time we have left.
Go ahead.
We were talking about Ohio, and I jumped to Mississippi, but the labor, you know, the initiative here, SB 5, which ended up being issue 2, which was handily defeated, by the way, 61-39, I think at last count. But if you want to know how crazy all these different initiatives are, I mean, where we really are through the looking glass here on this insanity is that, in Mississippi, for example, the National Right to Life Committee came out against that thing because it was too fucking crazy for them.
Right.
I think they were probably worried about backlash.
Right.
Haley Barbour was essentially in the cleaned up, hoods off version of the Klan, the Conservative Citizens Council, and to him, initially, he said he voted for it in the end, but he had reservations about this thing. So getting to a point where the National Right to Life Committee and Haley Barbour are uncomfortable with their legislation there. Here in Ohio, the state representative who won the ALEC Award for being, you know, ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Committee, Council
right.
Committee, I think, the crazy right-wing, you know, pro-everything bad group that pumps corporate money into the state legislatures, this guy Bill Seitz from Cincinnati, who won their award only in, I think, about 2002, 2003, I don't know the exact, but it was recently, was against the bill here, was against SB 5, and they kicked him off of his committee. The Republican Party did, so they get it through committee to get it voted on. Initially, he was against it because it went too far for him. The local Rush Limbaugh, Bill Cunningham, down in Cincinnati, who is basically as crazy as Rush Limbaugh, said it went too far for him.
Right, he's the guy who came out, I think, and said in a McCain rally that Obama was from Kenya or something, right? Or didn't he?
That's exactly right. Okay. So just so you don't understand how crazy he is, this thing went too far for that guy. So we're at that point now. Like, we're three levels removed from George W. Bush conservatism, which I thought was the craziest thing I could have ever seen in my life. We're at such a rabidly, nakedly, disgustingly, frighteningly conservative stuff that's so far from what anybody thought we'd be debating in this country. You know, I mean, that's where we are right now. You know what I mean? And it's amazing. And I think it's all been propped up by the right-wing media infrastructure. I mean, that's I honestly believe that most people are still getting it right on a lot of these things. But, you know, the only thing that keeps people thinking this is mainstream stuff is because they hear it on Fox as mainstream, and they hear it through Rush Limbaugh as mainstream, and so they don't realize how far outside of our history and our tradition all this stuff is, how far it takes us back to get to the kind of thinking you're talking about here.
And I think there's also been a tremendous, a tremendous lack of, well, we don't hear it from our leaders, but perhaps that's because we don't have the mechanisms on the ground, or we hadn't. You know, that's one of the amazing things about Occupy Wall Street is that it has been creating and changing the narrative in many respects across the board. And it's certainly...
That's true, because what's going on the ground, what actual real people believe, is so far away from what's going on with our political leadership. There's such a divorce, which is not really supposed to take place in a democracy. You know, there's supposed to be something called representation, but I mean, it's so divorced that's what I mean. These guys are just doing things. They're losing their own most rabid... We're not talking about losing, like, Lincoln Chafee anymore.
Right.
Talking about losing Bill Cunningham on legislation and losing Haley Barbour on legislation. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think this thing would have fallen of its own weight at this point because so much of this stuff is so crazy. But, yeah, you get a healthy dose of being told by Limbaugh and Fox and others that it's normal and that this you just believe it. I mean, nothing else can explain to me why 14% of public employee unions in this state voted for issue two. I mean, they literally must be watching Fox and Limbaugh and be brainwashed,
right?
Because I don't know what to compare that to. That's like me voting for a pogrom.
Yes. Can we establish one day of the year where we celebrate anti-Semitism?
Can we like to bring the czar back. I thought that was a good system for you and me, Sam.
Well, all right. Now, so let's take this, let's take a little more time because we had these technical difficulties and expand this conversation to include just the sheer insanity that we saw on stage. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night, I guess, with the Republican primary. You know, the other day I was saying that, you know, how absurd it was that you have these lunatics on this stage together, and it is being passed off as a real sort of like political party. You know, that it's sheer lunacy that nobody's stepping up in the middle of that debate, you know, from the audience or the from the back, you know, from the backstage or from the moderators and going, hey, wait a second, can we just take a break here and just stop and sort of absorb how crazy this is?
One of the more responsible people on the stage is Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, I mean that we have Newt Gingrich is the thrice philanderer who is all but admitted that his campaign is simply a way to him to write off vacations with his wife. You have another guy who is a serial
and the Tiffany's bill, you know, of like the fucking salt of Brunei. But okay, go ahead.
A guy who's a serial harasser, if not assaulter of women. Another another guy who is clearly on some type of medication or drugs so that he can get through a public appearance. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that this guy has, there's something going on there. Maybe I've heard, you know, he had back problems. It's pain medication. Who knows what it is?
Whatever he is, I want some of that shit, you know?
No, it'd be great if he didn't have to do anything. Like, don't operate heavy machinery. I mean, and the idea that that Buddy Romer can't get on that stage because somehow he's not a legitimate candidate, it just boggles the mind.
Buddy Romer and Gary Johnson actually may be the two most, I mean, those two, Huntsman, Romney, even though he has absolutely zero principles,
right?
But those four may literally be the only, I'd say, fully sane people.
Right. Romer actually tweeted me yesterday to thank me for mentioning that. And that in and of itself, and we should have him on the program, but just that in and of itself, just...
You should totally have him on the program.
Oh, I would love to, I'll tweet him. But the idea that he has to thank me for mentioning the fact that it's absurd that he's not on there, that makes it even that much more crazy. You know, I mean, this guy, I don't agree with a lot of his policies. I certainly agree with the way that he's running, and I certainly agree with his notion about money and politics. But the fact...
That's it. See, he mentioned money and politics, so he's done.
That's
what it comes down to.
It's just...
Go ahead.
It's just a bizarre... I mean, how is it possible that this guy has to thank me to mention him? He can't get on stage, and those people on stage literally... It's like, you know, like the Dirty Dozen. It's literally looks like the cast of some type of bizarre, you know, sort of Judd Apatow movie. You know, like, hey,
I know.
Dude's gonna run for president. Well, man, if you're gonna run for president, I'm gonna run for president. But what about your heroin problem? Don't worry! You know, it's like, wait, you can't, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
I know, and I really thought, honestly, in 2008, I took a look at that stage, and I thought, could they get a collection of crazier people up there? And they have. I mean, they've found a way to take people that literally would be laughed, I mean, just 30 years ago, 20 years ago even, 10 years ago, I think, in the Republican Party, the party gradually got crazier and crazier. But, I mean, you imagine a debate where Eisenhower standing next to these guys?
Right.
Hell, Nixon? I mean, people that have been, you know, whenever you think of someone like Nixon's character, they're people that had the ideas that they had and had been in government for as long as they had and understood, you know, the way democracy basically works.
Contemplate this for a moment. We've been talking for at least 5 minutes about how crazy the Republican candidates are, and we haven't even mentioned Bachman.
That's right. I was just getting to Crazy Eyes herself, and
she wanted a citizens test for congressmen, you know, like an anti-American test for congressmen 18 months ago or whatever it was. I mean, it's just crazy. It's almost impossible to sort of imagine at this point.
Yep, and truthfully, I may like some of the ideas, but I'm not thinking Ron Paul's completely there either. And I did enjoy the moment when Rick Perry leaned over to him and was sort of like, "Help me, Dad,"
you want to cut five? Oh, okay, five.
Cut that whole fucking thing. It's not like it doesn't. No, the government doesn't actually do anything. Besides, I think somebody pointed out the fact that the Energy Department's what regulates and follows our nukes. But hell, we don't need that. Fuck it. It'll all end up in the right place. God told Michelle Bachman that.
Really, completely, completely overrated. Well, Cliff, I gotta go because it looks like Chris Rosen is willing to come back onto the program today.
Excellent.
Thank you for joining us as always. It was a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Sam. Bye.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Chris Rosen. Hopefully.
com.
So I'm actually at Movie Phone.
Big Shot Senior Editor, eh?
Vertical Editor.
Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room, watching movies and you dress like a slob.
I'm actually in an office now.
Jimmy Reese of Cakes got to ask me, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
Yes, how did you get that job? Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, returning to the program, Mr. Chris Rosen. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, hello, Sam.
How's it going? It's going good. Now, Chris, I got to say that it seemed like you were a little bit pissed off at the end of last week's segment.
Slightly. I don't like to be played the fool. Also, Kyle seems like a douche from his Twitter page.
Did you not? You didn't realize that Kyle was doing an impersonation.
I didn't know it was Kyle. I thought it was Matt, equally douchey.
Well, it seemed like you thought it was a recording of yourself.
Well, I thought it was actually a recording of Matt doing me. I knew it was a recording because you were playing it off, or at least I assumed it was a recording because you were playing it. Was Kyle actually there?
He was actually on the phone doing it live. As we say.
The magic of internet radio.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, but I just assumed it was Matt, and then I was surprised because obviously Matt was on a different, you know, all douchebags sound the same, so I was like, oh, maybe it's Matt, but he wasn't on the phone. I could tell it was somebody else on the phone, and I could hear Matt in the background. So I was like, maybe Matt recorded it, or, you know, something like that.
And you got pretty upset.
I wouldn't say I got very upset. I mean, I don't really give much thought to it, but I was just like, come on.
Well, you wouldn't return my IMs.
I saw your IM and I was busy, and then today, I mean, I was busy also.
Okay. The funny thing is that Kyle had called in the week before pretending to be you when I couldn't reach you.
Right, I assumed that. So it's funny, I had thought you forgot about me that week.
No, I was IMing you. You didn't respond.
I didn't even see those IMs.
Uh-huh. And then
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Kyle called in.
I asked what happened, and then I thought you said Marin was doing it.
Well, I said that after the fact. I said that after the fact because we knew at that point that we were going to have both you and the guy impersonating you on because we realized, like, you don't listen to the show at all, do you? I mean, you don't.
No.
Not even.
I'm very busy going vertical, Sam. I don't have time, you know, to listen to all kinds of podcasts. I'd love to listen. I know it's a great show, obviously. I wouldn't be on it otherwise.
How do you know it's a great show?
I read the internet. It's got a good, I see your retweets and stuff. It's got a good reputation.
Are you aware that we won a podcast award?
I did see you tweet that, yes. Jerry, congratulations, as they say.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So,
what was the award called?
Best News in Politics Despite Returning Weekly Features Award.
That's an interesting award. Very specific.
It was very specific. Yeah.
I'm proud to say I appear on an award-winning podcast. I'll put that on my resume.
I'm actually surprised it's not already there.
I didn't realize you won an award, but now I will put it on.
You know,
I was also nominated for a Grammy once when I was producing Al Franken's show. Grammy by, you know, osmosis.
You were producing Al Franken's show?
No, I was a board op.
You know, that's more or less exactly what happened with this segment, wasn't it? You sort of claim that you were a movie reviewer, and then...
Oh, I never claimed that. You claim that, but I think that's nice. I think that's nice of you to claim that.
Well, do you have
What'd
a movie...
What'd you do? Did you watch Horrible Bosses yet?
No. I tried to get my...
I really think I was going to... I might recommend that for a third straight week, then.
You know, next week is our year anniversary, and I think we're going to have to reevaluate the segment. I mean, I think we have a rule about...
I'll have to get you something on DVD, maybe Horrible Bosses.
It's on Blu-ray.
Or I'll send you the Blu-ray. I'll send you the Blu-ray, perhaps.
You do... You're joking, right? I mean, you're
what?
Are you referencing the fact that... Do you understand that, like, when Kyle did his impersonation of you 2 weeks ago, he recommended what you recommended the next week?
Yes. Just a coincidence.
Does that make you feel like, oh, wow, I may be a slightly predictable?
I think that, you know, I think people like routine, Sam. I think that's appreciated.
It doesn't in any way make you say, like, I should really just look into all of it. Just to everything.
I think people like hearing about the nice big movies that are coming out, like Captain America, which I might recommend.
Didn't that already come out?
Oh, maybe it did. I don't know.
Did you see Captain America?
What was that?
Did you see it? Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I actually saw Captain America.
Was it good?
Yeah, not really.
Do you know how bad that movie must be for you to say that?
Pretty bad.
Yes, shockingly bad. All right, well, let's...
Not shockingly bad.
If you say a movie is bad, I can only... I don't know if I can imagine how bad it could be.
I don't think I like everything.
But you like some pretty bad movies.
Name one.
Just about every movie you've recommended. That you've seen.
That you've seen. A lot of them I haven't seen.
The movies that you haven't seen generally tend to be better than the ones you've seen.
Well, how was Morgan Call? Did you do that one?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, let's recommend that again, because I really didn't put a lot of research into the segment unlike I normally do.
Did you watch the movie?
No, not yet.
So what did you do? Look up what the word margin means?
I didn't even bother that. I know it's a financial movie, though. A lot of being talked about a lot. Occupy Wall Street.
What about Middlemen? Have you ever heard of that movie?
Middlemen with Luke Wilson?
Yeah.
Ugh, no. That sounds terrible. Why would you watch that?
Matt recommended it.
Well, it's about a dirty pornographer, so I'm sure Matt's familiar with Googling porn.
So you've never seen it, but you think it was supposed to be bad?
Well, everything I read about it was bad. I wouldn't bother. It sounded like a TV movie.
All right, so what are you going to recommend for this week? Don't say Margin Call again.
Horrible Bosses. I really mean Horrible Bosses. Hello.
You know what? You know what I should do? I should use you for driving membership. In other words,
sure.
In other words, if we get 5 members.
Not just 5, that's not enough. I think it should be like 1,000. And then I get a bonus.
No, I was gonna say if we get 10 members, if 20 members join this weekend, I will never bring you on this program again.
Oh, I think it should be more than that, and I think that would be nice. You know, I think that would be a nice prize for me. Then you're gonna make me more part of the show, right?
No. If we get 20 members, I will never bring you back on the program.
Bring me back on.
No, never bring you back on.
It keeps breaking up, but I think it's very nice that you want to bring me back on.
All right, what's the other movie you want to recommend?
I hesitate to recommend this because I really liked it, and I'm sure you would hate it, but I think Crazy Stupid Love was a nice movie, and I think you would like it. It's on Amazon Instant Watch.
What is it?
It's Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling. A little romantic comedy. But it was very pretty funny. Ryan Gosling's amazingly funny in it and very charming. And Steve Carell does his usual Steve Carell routine. If you're
what
not
is your girlfriend doing? What does your girlfriend do?
She's a writer.
Did she ever listen to this program? Is she ever, like, was she aware of what you do here?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I used to work at home, you know, in the dark living room. She would be home and, she would hear the segment and just say how great it sounded. Another winning segment on the, majority reward.
Did you feel like you have to do this outside of, your house because you didn't want to embarrass yourself?
No, I never thought that. I feel more weird at the work because, you know, I don't have an office. It's just kind of like a cube, so I have to go.
Want to say that if any of your girlfriend's friends are listening, now would be the time for the intervention. Right? Before this goes any further, you guys are cohabitating. Who knows what could happen?
I think that's fine.
What's fine?
I think none of my girlfriend's friends listen to this. I think we're in the clear.
If I get 20 members over the weekend.
And I just want to say something before you let me go. This week's Parks and Recreation was really good, and I think you should give that another chance. Hello.
I know you can't hear that, but I'm playing the German national anthem. I'm not suggesting
it. I don't hear Matt this week. Does that mean you're in the bunker?
I'm in the bunker this week.
A veteran?
Yeah.
You're in the bunker for Veterans Day? If only I could see the shorts of urine behind you. This would make the segment complete.
Well,
in urine.
Chris, as always, it was a pleasure.
Dan, this is fun.
Listen to me.
Yes.
Next Thursday, I am doing a 12-hour show to celebrate the anniversary.
Well, that sounds awesome.
And I probably will have you on.
You want me to co-host?
Sorry?
What was that? You want me to co-host?
Maybe you could come into studio. It might be a good way to sort of, you know, buttonhole this.
I don't think I would come in. That seems a little far-fetched. Very busy here with, you know, the Twilight premiere and stuff. But
next week you can come in and recommend Adam Sandler's new movie, the one where he...
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Even I wouldn't recommend that to you, Sam. But Happy Gilmore is funny.
All right, Chris.
Talk to you next week.
It was wonderful.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy Veterans Day.
Quite a pleasure.
All right.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was Chris Rosen. Yeah, how did you get that job indeed? That was Chris Rosen, ladies and gentlemen. And now it is time, as is our habit on Fridays, casual Fridays, to play our songs of the week. First up is Nittany Nitwits by Jimmy Reefer Cake. Let's go to it right now.
Chill out and smoke a joint. Raping kids is wrong. That's a very simple point. PSU, a locker room rapist pedophile. The Joker could own you, and that's absolutely vile. That poor boy was only
Jimmy Reefer Cake, weighing in on the Joe Paterno situation. And we will get to your phone calls in just a moment or two. You got to bear with me today, folks. I got some technical issues that have been sort of bugging us. But first, before we get it, let's go with the screaming majority. Bunga.
The Greeks, they were weak. But Italy, oh Italy, has been run much more shittily. Berlusconi's feeling lonely, condemned by the entire world. He can't even bang his underage girls. He was the last of the red-hot lovers. The bunga bunga time is over.
Time is over. The screaming majority, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now let's go to the phones. I think we got a lot of, it's very possible we're going to have a bunch of libertarian callers today. I hope so. We issued a bit of a challenge on YouTube, and we may have them on as we speak. Let's go. You're calling. Oh, son of a gun. Ah, gosh. I'm having real technical difficulties again today, folks. As per usual. I don't know why it's always so difficult when we do this this way, but invariably, it's a function of the computers that we have. Are you there? Calling from a 310 phone. You there? You there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who's this?
Yeah. This is Jeffrey from Mountain View.
Jeffrey, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Doing pretty good. I was just calling because I think it was yesterday. You're talking about libertarianism. And I was just wondering what your concerns were about libertarianism. You talked about it being a utopia, that kind of thing. So I just wanted to dispel some of those myths.
All right, go ahead.
So, well, basically, it's a straw man to say it's a utopia. It's not really a utopia. It's more like a better system than we have now. And,
tell me what that system is. What would that system, what is a libertarian system?
Sorry, what?
What is a libertarian system?
Sorry, the connection's kind of cutting out. So, what was your question?
You said it's a better system than we have now, and I'm asking, what is a libertarian system?
What do libertarians believe? Is that your question?
Yeah, what is the system that you're talking about?
Oh, the system, yeah. So basically, minimum government maximum freedom. There are many problems when you try to regulate things. For example, the drug war causes more problems than it solves. Without a drug war, you would have, for example, people just harming themselves or benefiting themselves, whichever the case. And you would have less people in jail for crimes that do not hurt others. And, you know, that's one of the imbalances that regulating.
Yeah, no, we agree. We agree on the drug war, but we don't get there in the same, we don't get there in the same way. When you say minimum government, what would you get rid of? Aside from the drug war, would you get rid of the FDA, for instance, the Federal Drug Administration?
Yeah, I think either most of it or all of it, because the FDA, apart from blocking good drugs, also blocks some bad drugs. But even then, it doesn't block all the bad drugs. It's not a good system because companies have independent companies that assess them anyway. A company has an incentive to produce a good product. And, you know, for example, I think there's like Fisher's associations where they have a seal of approval that is better than the FDA. So it has standards that are even more stringent than the FDA. So that's one of the examples where the FDA is kind of irrelevant in that case.
Yeah. Are you familiar with, let's say, YAZ? Do you know what YAZ is?
How do you spell that?
Yaz, Y-A-Z, or perhaps Fen-Phen, or are you familiar with, Vioxx, or are you familiar with any of the drugs that have, sometimes they get FDA approval. They get FDA approval, but are you suggesting that we should just leave it up to drug companies and just trust that the drugs they're going to give us are safe?
Well, it's not really trusting in their benevolence. It's more like trusting in the fact that they do their research. And, there will be problems, but it's in their best interest to give us the best drugs.
Why is it in their best interest? Why is it in their best interest? For instance, Bayer has released this Yaz. It was a birth control pill, but they started selling it for other applications, and it has caused untold damage to women. And the only thing that could potentially stop them, nothing actually is going to potentially stop them. They may suffer some torts, but the fact of the matter is there's no way for individual people to know whether or not what they're taking is safe.
And so did people figure out that company was responsible for that drug, or is the company doing well now as well?
Yeah, the company's doing great. It's Bayer.
Well, you also have to think about the good side of not having the FDA, which is having drugs which the FDA blocks just for being careful. Because if they block drugs that could help thousands of people survive, they do not get punished. If they let them go and it hurts people, they do get punished. They have an incentive not to release drugs, and that would help a lot of people. For example,
Let's move on. So I just want to be clear. So you think that we don't need that corporations will not produce unsafe drugs, despite the fact that we have seen time and time again corporations that produce.
There will be cases. There will be cases when they produce bad drugs, and there are cases now that they produce bad drugs, even with the FDA. But there will be associations as well that assess the drugs, and,
Why aren't there associations that do that now?
All-powerful. Sorry, because, for example, with food, some companies resort to independent companies because the FDA is not enough to convince people that it's a good product. For example, with the fish products, like that company that puts the seal of approval says this is tested better than the FDA. So there would be more of those without the FDA.
Uh-huh. Now, what do you do, like, in a situation? What do you do in a situation?
When you release good drugs.
What do you do in the situation, like, where you get all this E. coli in meat or in produce? What association then will track that down?
When you have like a produce outbreak where it kills people,
yeah,
like with the melons, I think, or the cantaloupes recently.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you would have. I'm not sure who were responsible for that, but there are class action lawsuits, and you know it got released even with the FDA. So I'm not sure what you're arguing about.
Well, you know, but you know that it's government agencies that track down where it's located because they force them to go into a database when they sell.
And journalists track down where it's located as well.
So we would wait for journalists to do that. Let me ask you this: do you have diarrhea?
Not right now.
Now, the reason why you don't have diarrhea is because despite the fact that you think it's in the best interest of corporations not to pollute our water, they would be polluting our water. Do you think that we should get rid of the EPA? Should we get rid of the
EPA? Why would they pollute our water without the steps in?
They pollute our water because it saves them money to pollute our water.
Our water without the agency.
They pollute our water because they did. Before the EPA, there were dead rivers. The Hudson River was a dead river. The Cuyahoga River was a dead river before the EPA. Would you get rid of the EPA?
What happened with the EPA, there would be more class action lawsuits as well. And it would be more effective not to hide behind the laws of the EPA for someone to convict the company of those kinds of pollutions. So, yeah, there are very much market pressures to take care of that as well.
Are you suggesting there was no class action lawsuits that existed? Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Are you suggesting that prior to 1971 there was no class action lawsuits? They didn't exist? I mean, how was it that the Hudson River became so polluted that fish could not live there? It was a dead river. The Cuyahoga River lit on fire.
Yeah.
What's different between...
So people were aware of that. So what did people do then? Like, they didn't just stand around.
They started the EPA and they passed laws.
Yeah, That's not the only necessary path. That's not the only path you can take.
Who has standing?
Who has standing? Together and holding the companies accountable.
Who has standing in a pollution case?
I'm sorry?
Who has standing in a pollution case?
Who has standing?
Yeah. Do you know what standing?
Like, who is responsible? Or?
No. In a tort action... You must prove that you have been directly harmed. And if it's not your river, who has standing if there is no government laws about whether or not people can dump into our rivers?
There doesn't have to be. There are property rights and there are many other things you can invoke to convict them.
Who convict them? No, there's no law, remember? We're talking about civil actions, you're suggesting. You're saying that torts, if there was no EPA, torts would take care of it. Who has standing? When people pollute
If you get people together and point the finger at a company, you use property rights, you use other rights, you use safety, you use all these other
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about.
Is that not plausible?
No. Not without government regulation.
The government is not the only way to fix things.
But sir, you don't know what you're talking about in this case. Let me ask you, do you think that income taxes are illegal?
I'm not saying they're not legal. It was put into the Constitution. I believe it was amended into it. I do not believe it should be in the Constitution. There are other ways of collecting taxes.
What else from the Constitution would you like to change?
Well, a lot of things. For example, the fact that it subsidizes farmers, the fact that it gives $500 million to Solyndra and then it goes bankrupt in a year.
Well, that's not in the Constitution. That stuff's not in the Constitution. All right, let me ask you this. Do you
that's part of what libertarians want, too, like more liberty. The Constitution gives people that.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that if you own a restaurant that you should be able to discriminate against, let's say, black people or gay people that you don't have to serve them, right? Because it's an infringement on your property rights. Is that right? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
So you think that that type of discrimination is fine?
No, I do not.
You don't or you do?
Unnecessary conclusion.
I'm sorry?
That's not a necessary conclusion. That doesn't not follow from the other.
Do you support the Civil Rights Act? I mean, how can we infringe upon your property rights?
I support equality. I don't necessarily support everything that the Civil Rights Act says.
So, well, tell me what you have a problem with it. Like, I'm just trying to find out, because there's no libertarian, as far as I can tell, who can actually tell me. They could say, we want more liberty. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I know what the word liberty means, but I don't know what it means in the practical application. When you tell me that we have property rights, and that the government has no right to infringe upon those property rights, I don't know what that means. I mean, do you think the Civil Rights Act is wrong? Do you think that you should be able to take your property and use it in any way you want?
I'm sure there are extreme cases where, you know, if you're trying to build a nuclear bomb or something in your house, there might be a reason. I mean, but that's like with a warrant. That's not necessarily property rights. If there's something that really needs intervention, then they get a warrant and they do something about it. However, discrimination is not part of what the government should police. That's a societal phenomenon.
Okay, all right, fair enough. You think it goes beyond the bounds of society to say that we shouldn't have discrimination in any way. All right, well, listen, this has been very enlightening. I appreciate your calling in. I think you've made quite a case for libertarianism. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say?
All right. No, just thanks for taking my call, and it was good debating you.
Okay, yes. That was impressive. I will say, you know, if you're going to claim that somebody can sue a company for polluting a river without any government regulations, without environmental protections, that says that government, that companies can't do that, I'd like to see some evidence of it. And you really should know what it means to have standing if you're going to rely on torts as a mechanism for policing corporations. But let's see if we can do better with this caller. Give me a second, folks, because for some reason my system is a little bit slow today. In the meantime, let's take an IM. We're backed up here. Oh, it's going to be a long show today. Kyle. He recommended the same weeks I did. My favorite part of the Chris Rosen segment is when there's dead air and he goes, hello? Tell Chris I want to meet him during the 12-hour show. We can hug. All right, I will tell him. Let's go to, you're calling in from a 719 number. You there?
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Dax Mallinger, sir.
Okay, and so what are you calling for?
I'm a libertarian, and I believe that you might have some misconceptions about what a libertarian actually is.
Okay, all right, please enlighten me.
All right, so the definition of libertarian is one who basically wants free thought and advocates for free will. Now, is that something that, you know, shouldn't be done?
Should people not have free will? Well, I mean, I think there should be, so obviously there needs to be, in a practical implications, there is some limitations on free will.
Yes, sir, and don't get me wrong, I'm in full compliance with those. I mean, after all, with liberties and whatnot, we have to respect people's rights. I think we can all agree on that, yes?
Yeah, of course.
Now, I understand that some people think that we are anarchistic in some ways, and in some ways we are, but we want government. We want little government, but we do want government so that on corporations for things like monopolies, we don't want monopolies because, well, it's an obvious, no competition.
Wait a second. Yep. You're telling me that governments should intervene in the free market to prevent monopolies?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, so
government has its interest.
Okay, you're going to have to then outline to me what a small government, what you would get rid of in our government today, because that is not consistent with what I've heard from other libertarians. But I'm glad you believe in government regulation to prevent monopolies. So you believe in busting up trusts. That's good. What else? What would you get rid of? Let's get practical here. Instead of like talking about free will, I think that's wonderful. Free will is great, but in a practical level, in terms of a system of government, what would you get rid of with our government right now?
And as far as that would go, I'm afraid I'd have to take some of what Rick Perry said. Even though I hate the guy, I would get rid of the Chamber of Commerce. I definitely get rid of Department of Education and Energy.
Okay, hold on for a second. You would get rid of the Chamber of Commerce.
All right. Yes, sir.
You would get rid of the Chamber of Commerce.
I'm sorry?
You just said to me you would get rid of the Chamber of Commerce.
Any individual city. Well, in my city, Colorado Springs, we have deliberately taken subsidies from the homeless shelters that the government gives and given it to the Chamber of Commerce.
What's your name again?
Jackson.
Jackson, are you aware that the Chamber of Commerce is not part of the U.S. government?
Well, there might slip on the tongue today.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, this is why I think libertarians are full of crap. Because you tell me, and I'm going to assume that what you're doing is not a joke, but you tell me that I agree with Rick Perry, and we should get rid of the Chamber of Commerce, what did you say, the Department of Energy? Did you say the
Department? Yes, sir.
Yeah, are you aware the Department of Energy, you're aware the Department of Energy is what guards our nuclear stockpiles, right?
I am fully aware of that.
Okay.
Because after all, we can't find anything else that can do it.
Right. And what was the third thing? You wanted to get rid of the Department of Education? Now, when you say to me, we need to get rid of the Chamber of Commerce, and you say it with such conviction as part of your libertarian beliefs, and you don't realize that the Chamber of Commerce is not a governmental body, I think what you meant to say was the Commerce Department. Okay? I think that's what you meant to say.
Commerce Department, yes. Thank you, sir.
What is the budget for the Commerce Department?
Nationally? I cannot say for sure, sir.
What does it do?
Can't point a number, actually.
Yeah. You know, how am I supposed to take what you're saying seriously if you have no idea what you're talking about?
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Is this a joke?
Nope.
All right. So you would cut those three agencies of our government because they're useless. You certainly don't know what they're doing now, so it's obviously they can't be doing anything that's good. I mean, I think the Commerce Department could easily be gone, but you don't even know what it does. Is there anything else you want to advocate should be cut?
Well, yeah, it actually, that particular quote actually called for it.
Oh, please, go ahead.
So basically, free market, it was the economy. It was the economy I was getting on. So you're, I heard you were going on about college, basically. And you're going on about how everyone else should pay for it. You know, the government should pay for it. The church should pay for it, as you said. What about personal responsibility in that regard?
I believe that, yes, our government should provide for free college education.
So why can't people do that themselves if they can have a job?
Why can't...
The way things are now, yeah, I can understand it. Sorry?
Why can't people do it? Well, some people can't afford to go to college.
Yeah, nowadays. All right, so if the libertarian...
Well, not just nowadays. Not just
right.
Nowadays.
Yeah, nowadays.
That's always been the case.
Well, no system would work nowadays. How much are we in debt?
How much are we in debt? I
yes,
think
sir.
Our national debt is somewhere around $13 trillion right now.
$14 trillion, sir.
Okay.
So, and what's even more debt off the government when we can't even pay off what we have already?
Yeah.
All right, you do, sir, you do know about the GDP. The GDP is almost about to be passed just by the interest of that debt, correct?
Well, that's not accurate, but the fact of the matter is that when if we grow the economy and if we roll back the Bush tax cuts, we will be at par within 70 years, 60 years, we will have completely gotten rid of our debt.
That is, if we quit this useless government spending.
No. If we maintain the same growth of government spending that we have traditionally got. I mean, I think we have a problem with health care in this country, and we need to go to a universal health care system by single payer so that we can control health care costs. I think we need to do that. But in fact, I think what we should be doing is spending more money right now to get us out of this this recession.
Have you seen the debt clock?
Yeah, I have. I've seen the debt clock.
I can agree with you on that. We need absolutely complete social health care, or we don't need any insurance whatsoever, because that's what's driving the cost of health care up so high, is insurance. That's what the curve has set. If everybody had to pay out of pocket, you would see those prices decline, because they're still a business and they need money to survive. And if people can't afford it, they're not going to stay in business long.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think that medicine is not like buying a stereo system. And that there's a lot of people who are going to get ill and die if they are put in charge of whether deciding they're going to go see somebody because of the cost of it. So we can agree. We should have socialize the medical insurance in this country. I think you'd find that most of your libertarian friends wouldn't agree with that, but that's fine. But this has also been an incredibly illuminating phone call. I have to jump because I got another caller. But I appreciate your calling in, and I want to encourage you to call in again.
Yes, sir, and I'm going to have to apologize to you and your audience for that time-wasting first half of this. I really am sorry.
No, that's all right. I understand. I really do. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Have a nice day.
You too. Very, very polite guy. Very nice. He misspoke on a couple of things. That's fine. That happens. I still am trying to figure out what libertarianism is. We've got a lot of IMs. I'm going to have to take, I'm going to stop with the calls because we're already over on the show today. But I will take more calls next week. I encourage any libertarians to call in. I know there have to be some that can present themselves a little bit with a little bit more sophistication than what we've just seen. Man, that was great. Ranting to yourself. Okay. By the way, please refer to me as No Torture. Not by my name. Okay, No Torture. Dude, Cliff just landed on a key issue and you should not go by it. There is a way to trick the right into approving biological definition of life and we win. Been working on it. It's not a joke. Biological definition of personhood, I should say. No to Torture. You cannot win with these people who are personhood by any form of logic. It's just not the case. I'm sorry. You can define it any way. You cannot use logic to win in that way. You can't. It's not possible. David Benjoya, Re Paterno's defenders. Many people belong to the cult of football and don't get rich from it. What do you expect from a perverse ideology that teaches winning isn't anything? It's the only thing. You're going to see some IMs for people who can't hear the music, Cliff, or callers. This was a Ustream issue online. The audio feed is fine. I tried to tell as many as possible. Yeah, we had a problem with the Ustream. But I don't even have Ustream on now. Oh, okay. There was a problem with Ustream itself. Huh. Hey, baby, you still there? Oh, I think that's a spam bot. Into architecture. Are those organ specimen jars behind you? What kind of mad science experience did you have in that basement, Sam? I'm sorry I had to shut down the Sammy cam. I need another Mac Mini or something. I need a more robust computer because the second computer I have just fell apart. There's so many flavors of libertarians. These labels are not helpful. If I say I'm a liberal, it says very little about what I actually believe. You have to have these conversations on an individual basis. What do you believe? I think you'll find most people actually agree on most things when you throw out the labels and dogmas and ideological bends. I agree. Look, there are plenty of areas where liberals and libertarians agree. But understand the fundamental difference here. Libertarians live or imagine a society based on free market principles, on the principle of liberty, on the principle of freedom. And as a liberal, I need a little bit more than that because I don't know what those words mean. In practice, they mean different things to everybody. Liberals are concerned with what the result of a policy is, not the guiding principles behind the policy. It is the result. And generally, they want those results to be more egalitarian, more egalitarian and everything that involves in terms of respect for the commons, in terms of providing for those in society who cannot provide for themselves or have trouble to provide for themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So you can see this most clearly in the context of legal thought. The most famous liberal legal brief probably was the Brandeis brief, you know, which brought us things like dealt with labor issues, and says that when you have a 40-hour work week, or when you have when you limit children in terms of how long they work, it is better for society. Society has an interest in protecting children, let's say, as opposed to a classical conservative legal perspective, which is we have a principle of freedom of contract. There should be no interference between the contract, two contracting parties, in this case the employer and the employee, which would be a child, let's say. And so you hear them say, free market principles, free market principles. It's meaningless gobbledygook. Yes, I agree. The war on drugs is a huge waste of time. But not because I see it as an impeachment of my liberty, because it's a huge waste of time. I don't think it's I don't think it's curtailing the liberty of Americans to say kids should not drink until they're 18 or 21 or whatever it is. I actually think it should be 18 if you're going to go to war, but that's not the point. I'm not worried about that. That doesn't bother me. And the issue with legalization of drugs, for me, are practical ones. And because I don't see all drugs as being harmful. It's not because it's an issue of freedom or liberty. Our freedom and our liberty are constant. I don't have the freedom to quit my job if I don't have access to health insurance. That's a freedom issue. Let's get through these IMs. Sorry. We're about to source our child labor, child labor. But wait, American capitalism has become so efficient, it doesn't need child labor anymore. If you're right, well, it's surely only to become a little more efficient, and then they soon won't need it again. Hold tight, kids. Fully unregulated capitalism under Romney will save you. Sammy Cam, you're probably getting lots of these messages, but just in case we cannot hear Cliffside of the interview on... What? You're going to see some IMs who can't hear music, Cliff, or the callers. This is a Ustream issue. I think that was a Ustream issue. Ian, I have to second that Parks and Recreation episode. It's pretty amazing. Not hearing the other person's audio on the Sammy Cam. That's bizarre. That's bizarre. Because... the feed, if you heard me, you would have heard. Oh, you know what? It could have been me. That could have been me. I didn't have a line input there. No, I don't think it's I don't think it was a Ustream problem. I think it was my computer settings or problem. Well, we need another, No, I was only picking up my mic because it was coming through the computer's mic, not the line in, but I got rid of the Ustream. Occupy Baltimore, we have a big concert planned tomorrow as the band Celebration rocks the house. We could have our biggest rally yet on Sunday as the postal workers host the Save Your Local Post Office rally. Sweet. Also, Sam, read the EPA. Your caller should look at Voluntary Disclosure of Clean Water Act violations. The ones that aren't even punished. The amount is staggering.
What a day of technical issues.
Jason Parton. Oldie but a goodie. I recommend the 39 Steps, 1935 original. Libertarian system. If it's broken, don't fix it. Just burn it to the ground. Evening Star M. May I suggest managing the technicalities of a netcast while performing the netcast or incompatible tests best done by two people? The consensus among actual professionals is that it is true. Yes. The problem isn't with Ustream. We can see you're just fine. We just can't hear the people on the other end of the phone. Tim Johnson. Hello, Sam. This is Tim, former homeless refugee from floods in Bangkok. Things are grim and old swampy as Bangkok was built on a swamp. Foods and water continue to be in short supply, and now even beer is becoming a dear commodity. Even more districts are becoming, in Bangkok, are inundated by the billions of meters of toxic, chemical-polluted, crocodile-infested waters. This week, the street of a prime minister's house became flooded. Human body parts jammed up a pump. A woman was killed by a crocodile and besieged. The city continued to struggle to provide basic necessities. Meanwhile, 2 million people without power in the north, many inaccessible except by boat. Cholera has been reported, as well as leprosy, a deadly disease carried by rat urine. As for me, I'm in Phnom Penh at a very nice club. Dry and happy, although many Bangkok refugees are arriving daily as the neighborhoods fall one by one. Oy. Big Monkey. Hey, Sam, I don't know if you know this, but we can't hear you, the person you're interviewing.
Looks like you're talking to yourself. I gotta assume that was on Ustream. I haven't been hounding you on it lately. Have you seen Dogtooth?
I haven't.
By the way, DHS annual budget $55 billion, Department of Commerce is $9 billion. Pterodactyl, why are you torturing your faithful listeners with this Chris Rosen segment? It's painful. Eurospamed, I hate to agree with Chris Rosen, but Parks and Rec is actually a great show. Dana Gould and Greg Mitchell are involved. Lots of Second City talent. Aziz, Nick Offerman, Amy Poehler. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in a while. Libertarian Fridays, plus one internet points. Primer, we're only hearing you. Couldn't hear Rosen or any other audio. Can't hear your callers. Only hear your half of the conversation. I hope that was just on Ustream. Sam, I think my Italian friends would love the Screaming Majority song about Berlusconi. If you post a link, we will post it. Tom Hartman says libertarians are conservatives that want to smoke dope and get laid. Another guy is a dope smoker. 6814. Libertarian epic fail. Did this guy just say that there would be private regulatory agencies? You mean like Standard & Poor's? Exactly. Wear those bastards out, Sam. You should do this more often. So entertaining. Thanks. Except for the last caller. That was painful to witness. Rosen segments. Annoyance outweighs comedy value. Dartboard method should pick better movies. Slightly more dangerous. Jay Chabon. Who is full of crap? You are, buddy. I just checked Wikipedia, and the Chamber of Commerce is indeed a government entity. And the Secretary of Chamber of Commerce is a man named Haywood Jeblomi. Take that, elitist. Have you seen the debt clock? These go to 11. That caller can't be a true libertarian. A real libertarian never apologizes, unless he's been shot in the face by Dick Cheney. John Miles, your caller spouse's libertarian slogan, limited government, maximum freedom. These people don't seem to realize that big business can take away freedom just as government can. Does living in fear of bankruptcy from healthcare costs make people more free? Does being a wage slave and not having leisure or vacation time make people more free? Exactly. The Rosen Throwdown has forced my resolve. I'm a hardship member, and I'd like to upgrade my membership to full-on majority reporter. Let this be my vote for nixing the Rosen segment. It was fun for a while, but the magic is fading. I'll miss hearing Jimmy's song, though. Oh, well, thank you, 108. Herbowitz. Sam, old movie, have you seen The Name of the Father? Oh, no, I want to. You know that? Bobby Kennedy told me about that. That movie was about his brother-in-law. I gotta see that. I just don't see movies anymore. Sam, the live audio is very distorted. Is anybody experiencing the scratchy sound? Not that I know of. Richard Champion, I have been troubled by your repeated statement that liberals believe in results, full stop. The perversion of justice in the First and Fifth Amendments in the last decade has often been racked up to the ends justifies the means, like Greenwald's. I'm talking in terms of policy. I'm talking about in terms of policy, liberal policy. I mean, I think there are obviously good government issues, but in comparison to libertarians, talking about the policy, not talking about the breaking of laws. And what you're talking about is more civil libertarian issues. I mean, I think we can definitely see that, you know, there's a lot less complaining about President Obama's abuse of civil liberties than George Bush's. And I think that speaks to, you know, a real problem on the left in some respects. The non-prosecution of Nixon and Bush was deemed necessary because it was too difficult, but that's not... I think it was that the establishment didn't want to do that, frankly. Dump Rosen, have more libertarians, says Cool J 146. Kevin 11721, live audio is distorted, overmodulated. We got to come up with a system, folks, where somebody. Why not figure out exactly what hardware you need to fix the problems and have a marathon and throw a face-to-face party to raise the money? Because I can't find anybody who apparently knows what the heck is going on. All right, folks, that is the show for today.
It might take all the strength I got.
iTunes sounded fine all day. All right, good. Thank you.
But I know
all right, folks.
I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got
we'll see you on Monday. Reminder. Next Thursday will be a 12-hour show. Until then.
Yeah, no.